I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
I searched throughout the world and found no answers, for I ignored the one who is the truth. I thought that wealth and status brought fulfillment, but I found this world's promises untrue. I'm looking up for the things that really matter. I will not look to the things that pass away. My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day. So I'll just keep on looking up each day.
The world is still demanding my attention, but I don't see its glitter anymore. A higher place is giving my life purpose. Now I find myself
looking to the Lord.
I'm looking up
for the things that really matter.
I will not
look to the things that pass away.
My
hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day.
If I look out upon the world, I lose my vision. If I look in on my own strength, I lose my mind.
If I look down the road ahead, I'll lose my courage.
So I'll look up to Christ till my faith becomes sight.
I'm looking
up for the things that really matter.
I will not
look to the things that pass away.
My
hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day.
My
hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day.
Thank you, men, for that reminder to keep our focus on what really matters. And thank you, my friend, for tuning in to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Our goal on the Voice of Hope, on all our other radio programs and other facets of the ministry, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. After all, that's the final command Jesus gave us as his followers, to go into all the world and to make disciples. A disciple is a learner, a follower, one who imitates the character and the practice of his teacher. You know, there are many places in the world where the name of Jesus isn't well known, in some places not known at all. One of the least evangelized regions of the world is Central Asia. The countries there are sometimes referred to as the stands. There's Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and more. Right now, at Heralds of Hope, we're considering the possibility of adding 4 languages in this region to our broadcast schedule. One of these languages, Uzbek, is already sponsored for the first year of broadcasts, but the other 3 aren't yet sponsored. They are Tajik, Kazakh, and Central Asian Russian. And if you'd like to help reach this spiritually dark area with the gospel, you just need to contact us for additional details. We'd love to talk with you and show you how you can become a part of making disciples for Jesus in this dark part of the world. And would you join us in prayer that God would provide the funds we need to produce sustained programming in each of these languages? Thank you. And then, would you also join us in prayer for the effectiveness of this outreach? We know that as we send the teaching of the Scripture into this area, there will be spiritual opposition. Places like this have been under Satan's control for centuries, and they do not yield easily to gospel proclamation. Let's pray that God would rescue the perishing.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty.
Not long ago, I received a phone call from someone, and they were asking for reliable resources on the subject of biblical prophecy. The caller told me about someone they have contact with who's very fearful and anxious about the end times. There's no doubt in my mind that the current happenings in our world have heightened people's interest in prophecy. As they see the world falling apart around them, they're fearful about the future. And besides that, many people have more time on their hands because of the pandemic and the lockdown to think about these things and to spend time studying them. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, that the future day of the Lord would be preceded by the coming of a world ruler, and that ruler will be the likes of which the world has never seen before. And Paul uses several names to describe this ruler. He calls him the man of sin, the son of perdition, and the lawless one. One of the characteristics of his administration will be deception. In fact, Paul says this ruler will operate, and now I'm quoting him, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I understand the lie specifically mentioned here is that people will believe that this man is actually God. And notice, they'll believe this lie because they're already predisposed to believe what isn't true. You know as well as I do that deception is rampant today. Our culture is being conditioned to believe and celebrate things that just aren't true. For example, if a biological male decides he's a female, then we're told we have to treat him as a woman. Truth and biological reality don't matter. What matters, in their minds, is what he believes about himself. You know, this is absolute delusion, and it's heartbreaking because people's lives are being destroyed physically and socially and mentally and spiritually. And then there's the news media. A recent headline I saw on a major news network reporting from Kenosha, Wisconsin said, and I'm quoting, "Fiery but mostly peaceful protests after police shooting," end of quote. Now, fiery means something is burning, and the fires have been set by protesters. But we're somehow supposed to believe that they're mostly peaceful? You're being asked to suspend logic and blindly believe what you're told, regardless of what your eyes see. You're being conditioned to believe lies. And that deception will only grow worse, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. For the past few weeks on The Voice of Hope, we've been looking at Daniel chapter 11. We've observed how the heavenly messenger gave Daniel detailed information about several different world kingdoms in verses 2 through 35. Now, from Daniel's perspective, those kingdoms were present and in the future. From our perspective, they're in the past. One thing we highlighted was the incredibly accurate predictions of these kingdoms and how they would play out on the stage of world history. God, who knows all things, is able with absolute certainty to predict the future. He doesn't need to guess. He doesn't need to change his plans. And you know something? That gives me a lot of confidence when I think about the future. Now, as we continue our study, we'll focus on chapter 11, verse 36, on through verse 3 of chapter 12. Most scholars believe that the chapter division here between 11 and 12 is unfortunate because the narrative continues right into those opening verses of chapter 12. There are three possibilities of interpretation for this section of verses. First, some say it's an account of Antiochus Epiphanes, the ruler who gets the most coverage in those previous verses. Second, some say it's fiction or wishful thinking. And then the final possibility is it's genuine prophecy that is yet unfulfilled. Now, we can immediately reject the second possibility because God doesn't deal in fiction or in wishful thinking. But what about the other options? Most scholars, and even those who believe that Daniel is a forgery, agree that what is written in these verses does not correspond to the actual events of the life and reign of Antiochus. The critics contend that Daniel was written after the reign of Antiochus, and that's why the record of these earlier verses is so accurate. So they deny divine inspiration. That leaves us with only one choice. This is genuine prophecy, yet unfulfilled. And I believe as we work our way through these verses, we can make a compelling case for that choice. I've titled our study, The Time of the End. So let's turn now to the text and read it. That's Daniel chapter 11, beginning with verse 36 and reading through chapter 12, verse 3. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and to divide the land for gain. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and from the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. In the previous verses of chapter 11, the prophecies concerning the Greek and the Persian empires have been fulfilled in the smallest detail. But then from verse 36 onward, no commentator who studied the book of Daniel claims to find precise historical fulfillment of what is written there. Notice with me verse 35. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white. Now listen, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. This verse introduces a sharp break in the narrative. Now remember, all of this is future for Daniel, but some is near future and some is distant future. I believe the time being described in chapter 11, verse 36, through chapter 12, verse 3, is still future for us. According to Daniel's vision in chapter 9 of the 70 weeks, or literally 77s, the first 69 weeks end with the cutting off of Messiah the Prince. That's chapter 9, verse 26. And that leaves the final week, the 70th one, yet to come, according to the last verse of chapter 9. This is the final period of time leading up to the establishing of Christ's eternal kingdom. And it is this time period that is the focus of these ending verses of chapter 11 and all of chapter 12. Now, the early church father, Jerome, authored a commentary on the book of Daniel, and he stated in that commentary, quote, "The Jews believe this passage, here in the end of chapter 11, is a reference to the Antichrist," end of quote. Jerome, like many in his day, saw Antiochus as being a type of the coming Antichrist. The first part of our text tells us that this time of the end will be led by a king who will have a very singular focus. So, who is this king of verse 36 who shall do as he pleases? Is this the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, the little horn that we read about in Daniel chapter 7, who persecutes the saints of the Most High for 3.5 years? Or is it the beast out of the sea in Revelation chapter 13 and verses 1 to 10, who holds sway over all the earth? According to Revelation 13, verse 7, this ruler is given absolute authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 indicates that the events of our text take place during the time of the Great Tribulation, a tribulation unprecedented in human history. Jesus himself referred to this time in Matthew 24, verses 21, 22, and verses 29 to 31. And he said, "There has never been a time like it before, and there will never be a time like it afterward." Not only will this strong man do what he pleases, he will exalt himself above every God, and according to Revelation 13, 15, he will execute anyone who refuses to worship him. Now, even though he speaks blasphemous words against God, he is allowed to continue until the wrath or the indignation has been accomplished. In other words, God has a specific amount of time allotted for the punishment and purification of his ancient chosen earthly people. And this will happen because what God has determined, he will fulfill. Furthermore, this king of the end will pay no attention to the gods his forefathers worshipped. Some have taken this statement to mean that the Antichrist will be a Jew. That's certainly possible. But I personally believe that whomever brings peace to the nation of Israel and gives the people permission to rebuild their temple, that man will be worshipped as Messiah. The word that's translated here as God is Elohim, and it can refer to the true God, but it can also refer to false gods or idols. So this fact alone assures us that the person who's being described here is not Antiochus Epiphanes, because he was very much a worshiper of the gods. He filled Jerusalem and Judah with idols, and as you might recall, he even set up an idol of Zeus in the temple, and he killed the Jewish people who refused to worship his gods. This king that we're talking about here won't pay any attention to that, and he won't pay attention to the desire of women. What do we make of that? Well, there's a couple of possibilities. This king of the end may be lacking in natural affection or desire. Is he perhaps a sodomite? Or the desire of women could refer to the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, because supposedly the supreme desire of every Jewish maiden was to be the mother of Messiah. We know the Antichrist will be stridently opposed to Messiah. He is, after all, Satan's counterfeit of the true Messiah. And I think both of these interpretations could be valid without being exclusive. Ultimately, this king of the end will exalt himself above all gods, just as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, where he writes these words. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the end of the quote. And so what this man really worships, according to verse 37, is power. His power. He will consider himself the final authority. And the text says he will honor the God of fortresses. In other words, he will worship military power in a way that no one has ever done before him. Remember, Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. The king of the end will demonstrate his worship of military power by offering to it gold and silver with precious stones and costly gifts. Whatever makes him more powerful will be highly valued and honored. This is his singular focus.
Stand, who will stand in a sea of sin and live for the truth, grow strong from within. Stand, who will stand?
My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue our study. In the meantime, you can request an audio CD or a printed manuscript of this teaching, The Time of the End. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the Contact button on our homepage. There's also a place there where you can submit a prayer request. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, The Time of the End. And remember, if you'd like more information on how you can help take the gospel to Central Asia, just contact us. We'd be happy to talk with you about this wonderful opportunity. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope, friend, as we continue our study, The Time of the End.
Signs of the times are everywhere, everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air.
Strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt that he will come again.
But the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope. Soon Christ Jesus will return, will return. Signs of the times are everywhere, everywhere. There's a brand new field.